C1PR. Number 20A.
Today, we come to the sixth prayer, the prayer of truth as consciousness. Now, I can only depict this sixth prayer by falling back on what has led us up to this sixth prayer. We can only build the sixth story of a building when we have built first the first five. For the sixth stands in the air and hangs in the air, and it has no sure foundation. So, as I said yesterday, I like to ask myself every time I come to a new subject, why were the previous subjects necessary? And if I find out a revealed answer, where through divine logic and revelation I can see why a subject can only come into the focus of presentation and discussion when all the preceding subjects are seen, then I can see the continuity and the structure of the whole. So let's see on what basis this sixth prayer builds on. Yesterday, in the fifth prayer, we have seen that the fifth prayer wants to present that as the cause is, so is the effect. That cause has an effect, that's a big law in metaphysics. Here in prayer, she only presents first the thought that we must be clear that as cause always has its effect in the same nature as the cause is, that therefore she says, well, in prayer, therefore, we must go to the right cause. And must see that going to the right cause is going in a divine way and not in a way of belief and of superficiality. But in that fifth prayer, when we read it over, we really don't see what the effect really is. I mean the form of the effect, or I would say the constituents of that effect, or the contents of that effect, of a right effect. She only presented there the very fact that law has an effect. And so naturally the thought comes next and says, but what is this effect? What is the constituent, the form, the content of this effect? And so she must go a step further, must answer this logical, sequential question about the form of this prayer, the content of this prayer. And to take it, to tell you in advance what she says, the form of this prayer is consciousness of truth, or the consciousness of a spiritual father. That's the form of the prayer, of the sixth prayer. In other words, she says, we can see how life links, or how the fifth prayer links to the sixth prayer under the impulsion, naturally, that life always demands truth, that only that life, which is truth. We see that if I have a true and the right sense of God, that then I have a right sense of men. In other words, if I have a right and true sense of God, I am a right man. Or that in me which prays to a true God is a true man. And I have the form of my prayer, namely that in me which prays aright is right man, is a healthy man, is a health concept. And so you can quite see how only now in the sixth subject we come to the fact of healing. Perhaps one can be tempted a little bit in the fifth subject, which we have seen yesterday, that we think that there already Mrs. Eddy handles the question of the healing prayer, because she already there said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But she didn't go as far as showing the healing. You see, she only presented in the fifth prayer the standpoint of life of the Father, of the source. Said, if the source is right, let's go to the right source, to the divine source we saw yesterday, then we can be sure that what flows out of it is right, is healthy, is whole. And so only now, in the sixth prayer, she really presents the health of that prayer, the effect of the prayer, the wholeness of that which prays. And so we come here for the first time then, as you know in this passage, to the tone of healing, to the rule of healing, to the prayer that actually heals. Again, if we get always the links from one to the other, we have one something which is of the nature of science. We can see that the fifth prayer said we cannot just believe in God. We must have a deep, felt, heartfelt, genuine, devoted, consecrated affection for God, for the divine source. That is all happening within us. And now she says in the sixth prayer, well, if that is there, if that cause is there, then that cause is healthy. Then that which prays in me the right fifth prayer, that prayer of understanding the divine source, she says, that has the form of the true man, of health. That is healthy. She says, in other words, I put it round and round and round, I go always round the cake, you see. Just to elucidate what the next step is. She says, if I claim the Father, the right cause, the cause, the life, if I claim the Father, then I am right. See, then I am whole. That's the sixth prayer. So I cannot have the sixth prayer before the fifth, because I must first know what is the right cause, so that I don't go to a superficial cause, to a supposititious divine cause, so to say, to a cause which I think is divine, but which isn't divine. But if the fifth prayer tells me how to go to the divine cause, well, those qualities which she presents there are the qualities within me that yearn to go to the divine cause. Well, if those qualities are in me, and always as I go more and more to that divine cause, more and more is in me which is of the divine cause, and therefore always more and more is in me of the nature of true manhood, of the qualities of true manhood, of the qualities of consciousness. We get here the first time the term consciousness, become conscious, and of consciousness. But that consciousness, now we can see why we had to have the fifth prayer before. Because if we would start with the sixth prayer and say, well, we have to be conscious habitually and always, morning, noon and night, we have to be habitually conscious of what? See, the moment you say, of what? So you need a whole background which leads us up to what we shall be conscious of. And the first five prayers didn't tell us or present us something which we have to be conscious of, which is outside of ourselves. It says, no, what is needed is first seeking. Well, who seeks? I seek. The true man in me seeks. Well, what is gratitude for the divine being? That's in me. That's the true man in me. It isn't the four-legged man. It is the true man in me. What is so sincerely sticking to the rule? That's man in me, true man in me. What in the fourth is being so consistent in every detail? What is that in me? The principled attitude. That's man. And so in the fifth, we saw, what is that in me which always goes back and always habitually goes back to the same thing, which keeps those first four alive in me? What is that? That's that devoted sense of true manhood. And I begin to see that the divine in me is enriched and enriched and purified and purified, but also enlarged and enlarged, until I come to the point where I say, and all these qualities are me. That's man. That's of the nature of consciousness. And consciousness is now a consciousness of divine qualities, and not just a consciousness. This is now not just being conscious of, and then a big question mark. Through that birth, through the five prayers, something in me has then been cultured and cultured and strengthened and become alive, and then I can say all that is really building up or constituting me, and I get the right effect. Then I suddenly see I'm the effect. I'm conscious now of divine qualities. I'm conscious now with all my seeking, loving, sincerity and consistency, and with all my perseverance and habitual perseverance of what? Of the divine source. Then those qualities constitute my consciousness. But it is a consciousness of divine qualities, and the consciousness of divine qualities is whole. It's whole by itself. It's healthy. Therefore I have health. And so we find also in this sixth prayer always that sense that therefore that true consciousness can never be conscious of two opposites at the same time. The question of opposites falls at the point of truth. That quite naturally, you see, we see that if through that culture of the first, second, third, fourth and fifth prayer, I have got into a habitual state, life, of being principled. Of being principled in what? Being always sincere. That's the soul. Being always sincere about what? About only loving one God. That's the second prayer. Of what God? Of that God which I always seek, and which I always seek anew and afresh mind. So that consciousness is a purified consciousness, and that purified consciousness can never be two opposites at the same time. And therefore, the duality falls, the question of duality falls here, and therefore I'm whole. And that's hell. That's why we get in this sixth prayer the question of healing, among other things, of being whole. So, if I summarize, and that's really what Mrs. Eddy so often does in the sixth prayer, she summarizes the first five prayers usually and says, well, go back to life, to true life. That's your source. Go back to your Father. And in the measure I go back to the Father through the five prayers, I go back consciously, understandingly, not believingly, if I may say so. I go back understandingly and divinely consciously to the Divine Father. And that Father is one Father. He is spiritual and not corporeal. He is spiritual. And that going back to the Father who is life as spirit, in and of spirit, that going back consciously embodies true manhood in me. That embodies true manhood in me. That embodies a whole manhood in me. That embodies health. And so I have health. I have the effect. I come to the sixth, which is always giving the effect of the Father, the form of the effect of the Father, which says that's wholeness. And which is never can never therefore be of a dual nature. And so the sixth prayer is wiping away the dual nature and shows the impossibility of a dual nature at that point. Well, you may interject and say, but we have learned when we were studying the synonyms that spirit is that which deals with duality. See, which separates. Well, that's true. But truth is the higher sense of spirit, of dealing with the question of opposites. I'm sure when studying the textbook in the ordered way, or when we were studying the Bible and regarding the subtones in the Bible, which how as Mr. Dawley presented them, we always could feel, and I could give hundreds of incidents on these. No, hundreds is too much. But just thinking back on the work we were doing on the Bible, one could always see the moment the Bible touches and the moment the textbook touches the subtone of truth, the question of duality is solved. Spirit only separates. It separates in two categories. Spirit separates between divine mind and mortal mind, between spirit and matter, between soul and sense, between principle and personal sense. It makes two categories, you see. That's the second step, where we have to separate, where we have to see to which of both of this claim of duality, to which side our heart shall be, to what we shall devote ourselves. But there are two. Spirit separates. That's the second day. But in truth, that duality is solved. In truth, we come to the point where we see that as I have gone on from spirit through soul and principle and life to devote more and more to the right and to the good, and in life that good has become a constant habitual watching and desiring and loving of that good, and has become habitual, then I come to the point where I say finally, and that finally is truth, where I say finally, well, then I have only that one, and that's the only one, and there is nothing else in my consciousness. I cannot be at the same time conscious of life as the Father, and at the same time be conscious that there is another cause. I can't. Truth solves that duality. And so truth is, in one way, the higher sense of separation, because it does not only separate in two opposite categories, but it resolves the claim of a duality into a one consciousness, where the truth about a situation is so omnipresent and so all in my consciousness that the other has no more place. Now, that's the point where we all would like to arrive at. We all would like to come to that point where we feel, well, I'm just not conscious of any temptation. I'm just not conscious of any claim of matter or the body or of personal sense. Because that's the point of truth, where we just have one consciousness. And so, because we want to arrive at that point, we say to ourselves, how do I get there? And the order of the days show us how to get there. Now, I would ask you, during the next weeks, when you ponder this sixth subject, I would ask you, and I think I put one of the questions in this direction, to watch once in that whole sixth subject that very point. That, first of all, to watch how in this sixth subject, as never before, she always goes back to life. Our truth, to bring out the form of truth, she goes back to life. She deduces everything from life. She doesn't go so much back to truth, but to life, that which precedes. To the Father, it's all full of the Father and of the life and of the divine life and of true existence. And because truth, in a higher sense, solves the question of duality, she always, or practically always, combines that life and defines that life as spiritual, not corporeal, as spiritual, not physical, as spirit. It's life in and of spirit. It's life in and of spirit to which she falls back in order to explain the effect of life in and of spirit as the truth of being, as the true form of our being, as the healthy consciousness of our being. Now, what's that? Today I just want to arouse your interest into it. And I see more and more that that's the best thing I can do, because once the interest is aroused, that truth speaks to each one of you in a different way, in a more beautiful way than I can do it. I see time and time again how people make remarks on what I have said, and they say the most wonderful thing which I have never thought of. And that's true. That must be so. You see, it's the wonderful part of the Christ that he translates himself to an open consciousness in its individual way, and that he speaks and teaches to each one of us in a wonderful way, which is much bigger and much more colorful than what my individual presentation, my individual revelation of this truth can convey. So, but the main thing is that we let revelation be scientific, that we let science dictate revelation. You remember how I have pointed out in the first talk that Mrs. Eddy always says it is science that reveals. So it is our scientific knowledge which reveals. And what is scientific understanding? Scientific understanding is to see any truth in its relationship in the system. Then it is only scientific. So as long as we stick to the scientific order and culture the order, Here, as long as we culture the world order, which always reveals its own world, the world reveals the world and reveals the world until one point it pushes us on to the Christ and reveals the Christ. That's in the nature of the world. That the world of the world, when it comes to a climax, just pushes us on to one further point of the world of the Christ. So, let's think it over, what that means. That in order to pray the prayer of consciousness, what have we to do? We have to fall back on all the five preceding prayers, which culminated in the prayer of life, which says, only when I go back to the Father, I have a right course. But what does that produce? What does that mean? And it shows that if I go back to life in and of spirit, that then that in me which goes back to life in and of spirit is of the true consciousness. And consciousness, she said, therefore is spiritual and can never be aware of any duality. And so that's healing, that's health. I was quite interested to find out this. I didn't expect it. I just let the text talk to me. I always ask questions when I read the text and say, why does she, in the text where I could feel she was speaking about the sixth prayer, the prayer of truth, why does she always speak about life in and of spirit? I just asked myself that question and then I remembered how Mrs. Eddy got her first healing. And she says it was at the point, as you remember, where she thought that life is in and of spirit. I think in retrospection or somewhere she tells that. You may know it better where she is. And Mrs. Dolly always pointed out that Mrs. Eddy found her healing and found her signs at the point of life in and of spirit. Here, Mrs. Eddy exactly states that. And next time, if we have time, but I guess we won't have time, but still, we can go back and point it out, but if you go over it, you will see a dozen or more statements in two pages, just always showing that very thing. That it says, if consciousness goes to the Father, which is life, as spirit, as the spiritual Father, that in us which goes back to that is true consciousness, and that consciousness is only conscious of the spiritual, never of duality, and therefore that consciousness is whole and is healthy. That's the sixth prayer. It's quite a wonderful, logical, yet simple line that leads us to this point. So, in conjunction with this sense of this sixth attitude of prayer, this sixth means of prayer, we naturally find in many paragraphs an enormous sense of an enormous drive, so to say, an enormous driving to claim to enter into that realm of life in and of spirit. We find here that symbolism of the closet where we go into the secret and where we enter into the sanctuary of spirit. And it's always, as we'll see, through the way of life that we enter there. To the way of life, to that only practical way which we were considering yesterday, that we enter, you see, it's a laboring and striving to enter. It's a consciousness which is constantly claiming life in and of spirit. That urge in us, that claiming in us, that drive in us, that holding fast in us of life in and of spirit, that's the consciousness, that builds the consciousness of truth. That forms in us, step by step, the consciousness of truth. And then, she says, then we pray aright. And in this praying aright, we have the healing, the rule of healing. So you can see again how prayer is here depicted as something which is in us. That in us which claims to enter, which strives to enter the secret holy place of the Most High, which tries to enter, that is the sixth prayer, the prayer of being whole, of having the form of wholeness. So I think you have a proverb or a saying which says, how do you say, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah. Something like this. See, God helps those who help themselves. Theological prayer sits here, really pathetically and in apathy, and says, well, God Almighty, just bring me something, and bring me that which I ask. See, it's a state of inactivity. Scientific prayer is the other way around. Scientific prayer says, no, I go and enter. I go and enter, I strive and enter, I claim to enter. And that is the answer. I don't need another answer. Because that very thing in me, those very divine qualities in me, which embody that whole striving to enter, that is my true being. That is my true manhood. What do I want to demonstrate more than manhood? Whole manhood. So the kingdom of heaven is within me. It doesn't have to come down from somewhere. It's in me. But it needs to be cultured, to be awakened. Therefore, always that sense of watchfulness in this prayer.